Hey, one of our Talmidim, one of our friends here, Zevi Zolden, got married last summer, and he married a girl who is from a Sephardic family. So he asked the Shaila, this year is going to be their first Pesach together, and they're going to her parents for the first days. Now, I don't know if it's the Holy Yom, the first days, it doesn't make a difference. They're going to be spending time with her parents. Her parents in their home, being Sephardim, cook kitnias and serve kitnias, and all the kelim are kitnias. So he wants to know, what is his wife allowed to do? What is he allowed to do in terms of kitnias? Is he allowed to eat on the kelim? Is his wife allowed to eat on the kelim? Is there any possible heter that she's allowed to eat her parents' food that are kitnias? So we're not going to go through the whole inyan of kitnias again. Maybe we'll just zero in on this shayla. Just to briefly mention, that kitnias is a minhag that's been accepted by Ashkenazim, has not been accepted by Sephardim. Moroccans have accepted the idea of not eating rice, but apparently not when it comes to other kitnios. For the most part, it divides along Ashkenazi and Sephardi lines. The reasons for the minhag of kitnias are either because kitnias resembles a grain, or it functions in a similar way to a grain, or it's packed in the same bags, or gathered in the same bags that grain is gathered in, and you have a concern of a mashul chametz, or a mutant grain might look like something that is kitnias. Those are the reasons for the minhag of kitnias. But it is, whatever the reasons are, it's an Ashkenazi minhag to avoid kitnias. So the question is, normally we assume when a woman gets married, she accepts upon herself her husband's minhagim. So to what extent is that binding? So we once spoke about the idea of a woman accepting upon herself her husband's minhagim, or being required to accept the husband's minhagim. But I think when it comes to this shayla, it really depends on why you hold that's binding, why you hold that a woman accepts her husband's minhagim. It does seem to be pretty universal that everyone agrees that that's the case, but why is that the case? When I asked Rav Asher Weiss this shayla for Zevi, I asked him what the halacha is. I was somewhat surprised, because Rav Asher said that the Ashkenazi boy should not be eating kitnias by his in-laws. That was not surprising at all. He said, but he can eat from their kelim. That was not terribly surprising either. Many, many poskim hold that way, although some poskim say only if it's in a b'nei yomo. Others say they shouldn't eat from the kelim. But fine, and not so surprising that he also could eat from the kelim. And then he said something that did surprise me. He said, and she, the wife, is allowed to eat whatever she wants in her parents' house. She's allowed to, well, not chametz, you know, not cheeseburgers, but she's allowed to eat kitnias in her parents' house. And he can be mochel, and that's fine, and then she can eat kitnias. So I was somewhat surprised by that. Why was I surprised by that? Because Rav Moshe Feinstein has a Shuvin Archaim Chalik Alev Sim Kuf Nun Ches, where he explains why he believes it is that a woman has to accept her husband's minhagim. And we've mentioned this tshuva very briefly in the past, but now let's get into it in a little more detail. So Rav Moshe discusses the problem that they were facing. He wrote the tshuva in Tafshin Tesvav. As European Jews from all over Europe and from all over the Middle East, actually, were coming to the United States, and there were all sorts of different minhagim that were mixing together. There was no such thing as a minhag hamakom anymore. The Lower East Side had everybody, and now, you know, Long Island and Bergen County and wherever, all different types of people are mixed together in all these places. So you don't really have such a thing as a minhag hamakom. So what do you do? What minhag do you follow when a husband is from one minhag and the wife is from the other? Which in general is a positive thing, that the Jewish people are marrying other Jews who are not exactly of the same background. It's certainly a healthy thing as far as the Ashkenazi genetic diseases are concerned. It's good to diversify the gene pool a little bit. Gives you a sense of kibbutz galios, you know, what that's going to look like when Klal Yisrael has to all come together. So there's going to be this sense, and there already is in Eretz Yisrael to even a much, much greater extent, this sense of functioning together as a single society. So what do you do? So says Rav Moshe HaNachol Nanias Daiti, De'isha Tzricha L'Esnai Kemina Gabal, Bein L'Chumra, Bein L'Kula. The woman has to accept her husband's minhagim, both L'Chumra and L'Kula. Because, he says, there's the Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, it's Paskin Yardeis and Reish Yadalit, that if a person travels or moves from a place that has one set of minhagim to a place that has another set of minhagim, and he has no plans of ever returning to his point of origin, he accepts upon himself all of the minhagim of the place that he moves to, Bein L'Kula, Bein l'chumra, and that's based on the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Ches, where Ravashi said that Rabbi Zeira, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, what would have been considered mugremes to Rav and Shmuel, what would have been considered an invalid shechita for Rav and Shmuel, because Rabbi Zeira was never planning on going back to Rav and Shmuel, so he didn't have to observe the minhag of the place that he came from. Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Samech Ches holds that even shitas Harambam is that way, that it's the shitas Harash and the shitas Harambam, that once you have no plans to come back, you take upon yourself the minhag of the place that you went to. The Shach in Yoredeya over there in Siman Reish Yudalet Sifkat and Ches says that no, it's a machlokas rishonim, that the Rash would hold you could take bein lechumra bein lekula all the minhagim of the place that you came to, but the Rambam would say even if you have no plans of returning to where you came from, you still have to keep all the chumras of the place that you came from. That's shitas Harambam. But nevertheless, we paskin like the Rush and the Ran, and therefore and that's how the Chok Yaakov paskins, and therefore someone who moves from one place to another follows the minhagim, and he has no plans of returning, follows the minhagim of the place that he moves to. Bein l'kula bein l'chumra. That's wonderful. What does that have to do with a woman getting married? Says Rav Moshe, it has everything to do with a woman getting married, because what is the definition of nisuin? What exactly is the halachic function of nisuin? So when a woman gets married, she's considered to be nichnasas l'rashos habal. Says Rav Moshe, that's the very definition of nisuin, that she goes into rashos habal. That's her makom is now eitzel habal midoraisa. Nisuin is a concept da'oraisa, so that's what it means on a da'oraisa level, that she is now in the makom of the baal. The Gemara in Ksuvos Daf Mem Ches talks about this idea that she's nimsera lahabal, she's given over to the baal. Gemara talks about different cases, shluchei ha'av, sending to the shluchei ha'bal, and at what point it's chal exactly, but the point is that she's nimsera to the baal, because a nesua is someone who is living with the husband in the makom of the baal on a da'oraisa level. And says Rav Moshe, I'll bring you two rayas that's the case. Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Lama tells us that a woman, a married woman, is part from Kibra Ve'eim. Why? Because Isha ain't sipik biadalasos. She's unable to perform the mitzvah of Kibra Ve'eim because Roshos Acherim Aleha. She says, wait a second, what does that mean, Roshos Acherim Aleha? That she has a Sheba to do malachos for her husband? Those are all dinim derabanan, all the malachas that she does for her husband. She's patrum, kibra ve'mi doraisa, because the rabbanan say that she has some sort of shibud midrabanan to do malachas for her husband. Says Rav Moshe, no, that's not at all why it's considered that ain't sipik biadalasos. Rather, it's because the afshim in Torah like a din shibud malacha liisha. Granted, on a daraisa level, she has no shibud to do malacha for her husband. But mikamakom ika din al isha shetia eitzel baila. But there is a din daraisa that she needs to be with her husband, by her husband's side. That is ikar nisuin, says Rav Moshe. That's what it means. Ein sipek biadalasos and yardes and reishmem sif yud zayin. When we say isha in biadalasos because she's meshubedas labaila, it doesn't mean meshuba to do malacha. It means that she's meshuba to live with her husband and be in the makom of her husband. Also, in Parshas Bikurim, how do we refer to the wife? Lebeisecha. That by Beisozu Ishto, the Gemara tells us in a number of places, the Gemara Gittin Daf Mem Zayin, because she is the bias of the Baal. She is always in the bias of the Baal. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, Ein lecha halachas mimakom lemakom gedola mizu. There is no greater moving from one place to the other than you have when a woman gets married. And he says, and it's even stronger than a regular move, because normally someone moves from one place to the other, so they don't plan on ever returning to their point of origin. But can they? Are they in control of whether they move back? Yeah, they can always choose to relocate. People sometimes do that. Someone moves from one community to another. They try it out. They think that they're moving permanently, but they see it's not working for them in the new community. So what do? They move right back to where they were before. A woman who gets married, it's ain't sipek biyada. She doesn't have the ability to decide out of a marriage, to opt out of a marriage. She's not in control of whether she receives a get or not. And therefore, even if, says Rav Moshe, even if you wanted a pasuk like the Rambam, remember we said the Rambam before, the way the Shach understands the Rambam, is that even if a person has no plans of returning to where he came from, he still has to keep the chumras of where he came from. Says Rav Moshe, maybe the Rambam would be moda when a woman gets married, that when a woman gets married, she does not have to keep the chumras of her childhood, because she it's a stronger move to a new makom. She doesn't even have the ability to return. And he says the Chak Yaakov writes that the reason for the Rambam is because the Iker Din Minog is chal on the person from the place of their point of origin. I mean, that's the whole svara of the Rambam. He says, and even if you say that, though, there's a good reason why a woman who gets married would not be included in that, because he says the woman from her birth is already planning on one day getting married. Meaning she never really was kavua in the original makom. The whole reason the Rambam holds that a person who moves from one place to another still has to keep the chumras of the place that he came from is because he was once kavua there, and that's his chiyuv and minhagim are from right there. Those never go away. But if at the very outset you never became kavua, because the whole plan was always to find this next step, to be able to get married, so then she never had this kavua. Says Rav Moshe, would be an afkamina if a woman has a second marriage, that it could be with the second marriage, she would. That was not always in the plans, right? When she was married to her first husband, the plan was not to get divorced and then find the second husband. And therefore, it could be that she would not be bound according to the way the Chok Yaakov understands the Shitas HaRambam. It could be she would not be bound by the husband's menagim bein lekula bein lechumra. But Rav Moshe says, anyway, we don't paskin like the Rambam. So again, let's chazer over here. So if a person leaves a makom and plans on never returning, the Rush and the Ran hold, you keep all the new minhagim of the place you went to, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. So that there's nothing to talk about. Of course, when a woman gets married, bein l'kula, bein l'chumra, and that's how we paskin anyway. Even the Shitas HaRambam, so Shitas HaRambam, three possibilities. Shitas HaRambam, the way it's understood by the Magen Avraham, is the same. That bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. So then again, still nothing to talk about. Shitas HaRambam, the way the Shach understands it, no, she still has to keep the chumras of where she came from. But says Rav Moshe, even according to that, if she doesn't have the ability to go back, so the Rambam would never say it. And even if you understand the Rambam the way the Chok Yaakov understood, that it's about the kvius, that you start life with a certain minhag b'kvius, even that you could argue that that's not true of a woman, because as soon as a girl is born, she already has plans of getting married. Meaning that's ultimately the game plan. Now, if you're going to follow this idea that it's all based on minhag of the makom that you went to and from, says Rav Moshe, you don't need any hataras nedarim, right? A woman used to keep certain minhagim l'chumra in her father's house. Now when she goes to the husband's house, she kept the minhag of gebrots or whatever, so she doesn't need any hataras nedarim. She just keeps the husband's minhagim. However, based on a similar analysis, Rav Adi Yosef writes in the Tshuva, I think it's in Yabia Omer or Chaim Hei Simon Lamed Zayin, where he talks about kidneys. Rav Adi Yosef writes, what if you have a place that actually has a real minhag makom, and the husband just stubbornly insists to keep his own minhagim? He says, and Rav Adi Yosef holds this way, and all the other, certainly all the Ashkenazi posts can completely disagree with him on this, but he says, there is one place that has a din of minhag makom, Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is the makom of Maran Beit Yosef, and therefore Maran Beit Yosef's minhagim are the only minhag in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore if a Sephardi woman marries an Ashkenazi man, she can continue to keep the Sephardi minhagim in Eretz Yisrael, because you can't argue she went to the makom of the husband. The husband's in the makom of Maran Beit Yosef, so they all have to keep the minhagim of Maran Beit Yosef. So that's Rav Avad Yoshita. I believe that is a Das Yachid, even in the Sephardi world. For those who are not followers of Rav Adi Yosef, they do not believe, certainly the Moroccans are not big fans of this idea that everything has to follow Maran Beit Yosef. They have minhagim that date back centuries that did not always conform with Maran Beit Yosef. So anyway, but that's the Shita of Rav Adi. So if you're going to say like this, L'chora, I'm going to say like Rav Moshe, a woman cannot go to her parents' house and just eat kidneys. She has to follow. She's in the makom of her husband, meaning that's the holich makom makom. And nor could a husband be mochel such a thing. What do you mean mochel? It's not. She's not doing anything for him. She just went to this makom. It's not up to the husband to be mochel l'chora. However, in Halicho Shlomo, in Moadim, Chelek Aleph, on page Tzadi Aleph, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach is quoted as saying that the woman should follow the husband's minhagim. However, kivan she'ikra davar hu mipnei hashibud l'ba'al, that the whole reason she follows her husband's minhagim, none of this business of holik l'makom l'makom. It's a shibud to the husband. It's almost like a din of kavod to the husband. She owes it to the husband. So Rashi abalim ritzonu b'kach limchal al shibudo. Then the husband has every right to be mochal on such a shibud, so that she can continue to be noheg kibes avia like she did in her father's house. Now Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, if she already began to be noheg kibes avia with the husband's approval, and then she wants to change back and go to the husband's minhagim, then it could be she's going to require hataras nedarim. But typically speaking, Rav Shlomo Zalman holds none of this even requires hatara. The husband could be mochel, and she can continue to be noe kebes avia. And in fact, in a different sefer of Rav Shlomo Zalman that quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Shalmei Moed, which is supposed to be a collection of things from Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, he writes, after all, Maisim b'chol yom shabal mochel ishto shetamshich lihispalel b'nusach shi regila bo mi beis avia. Right? Don't you have often that a woman who davens nusach svart marries a guy who davens nusach ashkenaz, and the husband's perfectly okay, let her keep her siddur. He doesn't need to buy her a whole new set of machzorim. She already has her machzorim from bas mitzvah or whatever. So let her keep all her siddur. Let her daven, continue to daven in that way. I've heard of Gedolei Yisrael who said, no, she should train herself to transition. But Rosh Hashanah says, no, it's Maisim B'chol Yom, that a husband is mochel, because it's within the husband's rights to be mochel such things. So this seems to be a machlokas aposkim, that all depends on why it is that she keeps the husband's minhagim. So that's where Rav Asher Weiss paskind, like Rav Shlomo Zalman, that she, in her parents' house, she is allowed to eat kidneys, although he clearly would not be allowed to eat kidneys.